Good morning. Thanks for sticking around to the last day of APHA for this presentation. I'll try to make it as entertaining as possible. So to the other end of the spectrum, I'm going to be talking about older adults and sexual health. And first, I'd like to say I have no relationships to disclose for this presentation. I want to thank the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, home of the Tar Heels, Gilling School, Global Public Health, and the Department of Health Behavior, Health Education. This was a project. I'm just one of seven students that worked in a group for this project, our final year of our master's program. We have two other project members here in the audience I want to acknowledge. Also, our professor and our faculty advisor and TA, a big thanks to them. And then Lynn Barkley at the American Social Health Association, who I'll talk about a little bit later, that was our community partner. Personally, I'd like to thank APT for funding me to come here. And then, of course, all the study participants that took part in this project. So a little bit about the Capstone Project. Well, this is just an overview of the presentation. I'm going to talk about the Capstone Project, what it was, give you background and risk factors about the health problem of the population, talk about the methods and our findings, and the limitations and challenges of this formative research and how it helped us create what our final product was at the end of the school year, and the next steps of how it could be used in the future. So the Capstone Project was a year-long project, or two semesters, that was we were partnered with community-based organizations. We had a budget of $100 for the year, and it was field placement work, so we got to go out into the community, which was great hands-on experience. We did corresponding coursework throughout the project. So on top of what the deliverables were for the community organization, we had our own papers that we had to do for class and projects. Our community organization we worked with was the American Social Health Association. This is their mission there, as well as their website if you want to learn more about them. They work to promote public awareness around STDs, and they do patient education and support for patients. They work in health policy, and they also do provider training, so they're a great organization to work with. So some background on this population and why they're at risk. CDC has recently released information showing that people over the age of 50 represent 22% of new AIDS cases. This is a growing problem and a need for concern. They found that half of HIV-positive adults over the age of 50 were diagnosed with AIDS either at the time of their HIV-positive diagnosis or within a year of receiving an HIV diagnosis. So that's showing the immediate health concern of the population that we're talking about. Another study showed that 60% of HIV transmission among persons over the age of 50 occurred through heterosexual sex. So we're seeing a shift in what is a traditionally high-risk population, maybe among younger adults, to your less traditional high-risk population among older adults. And then STIs in general have nearly doubled from 1996 to 2003. So something's definitely going on here. So some risk factors of this population. A study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine showed that 14% of older men are using sexual enhancing supplements or medications to improve their own sexual functioning. So we're seeing an increasing amount of sex going on among older adults. 39% of older women have reported difficulty with lubrication, which puts them at great higher risk because of microabrasions that occurred during sexual intercourse. And then a recent study that was published and got a lot of attention in the press from the National Survey of Sexual Health Behavior showed that 2/3 of older adults are not using condoms regardless of situational characteristics. So there's definitely a behavior issue that we need to address. So with this project, we developed a contract of deliverables with ASHA that included a literature review, qualitative research, an analysis of our qualitative research, a report of those analyses, and then to develop an actual curriculum for them to implement in the community. This was a very ambitious goal with a budget of $100 in two semesters to work with. So we started out with the literature review, and then we moved on to the community engagement, where we spoke with providers, formed partners with providers, as well as local senior centers within the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area of North Carolina. Two of those were in urban areas, and one center was in a rural area. And then people over the age of 50 were our defined population as older persons. This was a very tough decision within our group, because in the literature we found that there's real no consistent definition of what constitutes this high-risk population. So some studies had them as 50 and older, some had 65 and older. So we just went with 50 and older for the purposes of this formative research. We conducted focus groups and individual interviews. We have a total of 30 of those. They were semi-structured with a formal consent process, and we didn't have any incentives to provide due to our budget, although we did go out and buy some food and cook ourselves. And then we conducted a qualitative analysis at the end. So this just shows a little bit about the demographics of the people that were a part of our project. Some things to highlight here: this is a convenience sample. It's by no means representative. You'll see that we had mainly African-American older adults that we interviewed, all Caucasian providers, and mainly Caucasian female staff at the centers were interviewed. So on to some of the findings. In our literature review, along with the background and risk factor information I presented earlier, we found that there really is a gap in research and programs on sexual health of older persons. It's just not there. We searched high and low. We found a few, but none that were really evaluated or evidence-based that we could use for this project to help inform our own curriculum. The distribution of HIV among older persons differs with their functionality. And what I mean by that is you can't look at the age of someone and determine what their risk factors are, basically due to active level, what kind of health problems they may or may not have. It's really hard to pigeonhole a specific age group there. And then there's also a growing interest in this topic. Publicity is really increasing. There's been a lot of stories on the news, on 60 Minutes. Even The Daily Show did a little bit about it that was not funny, because it is a growing problem. So findings of our qualitative research, some things to highlight here. Providers and senior center staff that we interviewed really indicated a lack of formal training, which makes it very difficult to communicate with either people at their specific center or people who are coming to the providers for medical treatment. The lack of training fosters really bad communication. It's an uncomfortable topic. It's avoided. It's brushed off. They just don't want to talk about it, basically. And this made our qualitative research a little bit difficult. Among the older persons that we interviewed, like I said, functionality and desire defines risk, so it's not just the age. Some of the senior centers we went to, there was just bingo going on with much older adults, and it wasn't much room for engagement among each other. But later that night, there would be salsa dancing or line dancing that would go on, and a lot of people met each other there. So we also found that social networking sites are being used more and more among older adults, specifically if you think about people 50 and older who are recently divorced and looking to date or find new partners. They're taking to the internet rather than the bars. This population does not feel at risk at all. AIDS was not an issue when they were dating or getting married to people at the time, and so there was not a real pressing need to learn about how to protect yourself from STIs and HIV. There's a real generation gap. We found that between ourselves and the people we interviewed. There was sometimes some disconnect there. It was hard to establish rapport at times, which could also lead to us feeling the need that some kind of peer education curriculum would be helpful. We can't really prove that with our formative results, but it did kind of steer us towards that direction. And then there are very few educational materials that are made available that are geared towards this audience. These are just a couple quotes that we found in our provider or in our interviews that were interesting. There on the left, a provider mentioned that men may not even know how to correctly use a condom, or older men, if not because of knowledge, because of arthritis that they have. And then on the right, that was a client at one of the senior centers that we interviewed, talking about providers just brushing off the topic of sexual health and moving on to taking blood pressure. Some limitations and challenges of this. I've talked a little bit about how this was a convenient sample earlier. We also had very little diversity among the population. Within the age brackets, mainly the older adults we interviewed were 65 and older. So we weren't really hitting that 50 plus kind of active living community type of adult that may be at risk. Also, we didn't specifically ask for sexual identity during the interviews just because they were already sensitive in nature. We did third person the question and asked if they knew of any LGBT individuals and how aware of any sexual health resources there were for those, and most all said that they did not or were not aware of any LGBT individuals at their senior center. Entree into centers was very difficult. Our rural site, after we did a staff interview, shut us down and said they did not want us to talk to their participants. So we were left with fewer interviews than we had anticipated. And then lack of resources that we had as grad students to conduct this research. So that kind of informed how we took our approach after doing the qualitative research. We wanted to develop a curriculum and be able to pilot test it so ASHA had something that was proven to be effective and adaptable towards their populations. We were not able to get that far to develop the curriculum and actually pilot test it. So we worked with them to negotiate something that would be just as useful. So we decided to do a resource packet using the information that we found in our qualitative interviews and our literature review to put together something that they could use currently out in the field or put it together to create a curriculum later. So I'm going to talk about what this resource packet consisted of. We had a fact sheet that was data-driven and targeted towards the populations that we did the interviews with. It includes resources for them to be able to seek out additional information if they couldn't find what they wanted on this fact sheet. We created brochures. We wrote the text for these brochures, and ASHA has technical staff that will design them. They were individualized based on the specific audience. So using what we heard in the qualitative interviews, we tried to focus our messaging towards that specific audience. We also had a very artistic person on our team who wanted to do some public service announcement scripts that could be put into the form of a YouTube video or some kind of educational video to show providers or staff members at centers or even seniors about how to talk about sexual health and how to broach the subject. You know, specifically if you're a provider, how to bring it up with your patient in a way that is sensitive and non-confrontational. And we targeted these again towards the specific audiences. So we created the script. We did not create a video per se. And then we put together training slides that are done on PowerPoint that could be used for senior center staff to be shown to senior center staff to educate them on how to talk openly with their clients about some of the issues and be sensitive to confidentiality and that type of thing. And then finally, we put together a dissemination spreadsheet that's a database of all the organizations that ASHA could disseminate this information out to, and hopefully facilitate the partnerships of between ASHA and other organizations that would find this helpful. So some next steps, we really want this to be turned into a curriculum. Researchers could use some of the materials that we've already developed in this resource packet to develop their own curriculum. It obviously needs to be pilot tested to make sure it's effective and suitable for the population. Once that is done, disseminate it and most certainly evaluate it continually to make sure that it is serving its purpose and helping out, especially if you're adapting it to a different type of audience. Here's some information if you want to contact ASHA. They have all the resources that we've developed, and my email address is there as well. So I think we're taking questions at the end, but thank you very much.